Now it's time to get back to KSTO Presents, the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSTO Presents, the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Bring you a rather interesting topic in the news these days and something that could affect us all and the future in a very profound way. It is the topic of the brain-computer interface, the interconnection between our brains and the rest of the world. I mean, our brains are processing sensory information now. We're pulling in information from our five senses and the combinations of them. But our technology is giving us the ability to pull in information from even more directions, such as the internet and the world of how to connect with this new world. The internet is what's about. Right now, it's a piece of glass that we're holding in our hands to connect with the bigger world. What will it be in the future? Some people are betting on glasses. Augmented reality, mixed reality, that sort of thing. Well, Elon Musk has been working on a company called Neuralink, which is all about connecting the brain directly to the computer. So to unravel this whole topic and to really look at it as an evolving story that could affect us all, we have in the studio Amara Angelica, who has been involved with researching this topic for at least 30 years that I know of, if not more. And is where it had the very earliest brain-computer interfaces that have been out there. And will bring us up to speed about what's happening now. Amara, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this brain-computer interface story, where in your mind does it begin?
I think what's really exciting about it is the idea of helping paraplegics who are locked in, meaning they cannot communicate with the real world.
So this has been a dream for a long time.
And, yeah. And what they've done is they've come along with a way to pick up the patient's brain waves using a brain machine interface. And as the patient looks at a computer screen, they can actually look at a letter,
So as you're looking at the letters on the screen,
A-N,
your brain waves are reflecting that letter in some way.
And you know immediately they want to talk to you.
Is that the dream, or has that been accomplished?
That's reality, actually.
That's reality.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Been there for several years. There's also another option where the patient will control a robot. There's a wonderful picture on the internet that shows a woman that's completely paralyzed, and she couldn't even look at the screen. She was just like a zombie, except that she could mentally control a robot that would bring her a chocolate bar, and I thought that was... Whoa.
Really?
I wouldn't approve of the sugar in the chocolate, but aside from that, I thought it was a great
idea. Just the whole concept of fetch. It's amazing.
Yeah. That was really beautiful.
Wow. So simple things can be done now, for years now, where you can identify letters. Now, does someone have to think a letter and look at a screen?
No, it looks at their eye motion.
So when you have to actually put the letter on the screen, the brain waves then reflect that pattern.
Right. So imagine an alphabet on the screen. So you just go over there to A, and then you look when you look at that for more than a few seconds, it says, oh, A, that's what she's
the machine identifies it.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like hovering with your glance.
Wow. Were they able to walk with this technology? Is that one of the dreams of this, or to create an exoskeleton for...
Yes,
someone,
there is some wonderful research in that, picking up the signals from the spinal cord and the legs and allowing people to walk using the same technology.
How about missing senses? Would they be able to hear or see, for example, with this technology?
Boy, that's an interesting question.
Or maybe in a different way.
I don't know. That's something I'm going to look into. Interesting.
Yeah, pseudo-senses, I guess, might be the top. One of the things that struck me about the technology is that it's read-write, that it's not just putting electrodes on someone's head and picking up their brain waves, but it's something about us being able to put information into the brain through this interface.
Exactly. That was the subject of an interesting research project that I was involved in. Hmm. We called it Heads in the Cloud.
Heads in the Cloud.
Yes. And the idea is that scientists will predict the Internet of Thoughts within decades. So in other words, the idea was to be able to pick up the same kind of signals from the brain and then interpret them in terms of words. Mm. So you might be walking along the street and say, hey, where is KCSO? I forget where it is. And then instantly in your mind, we would say Portola Street and so forth.
I mean, like a voice in your, like an internal Siri?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so, I can hardly wait.
So this is the project that I got started with. In March, we published a document, a paper called Human Brain Cloud Interface in Frontiers of Neuroscience. And we had about 17 other people, and scientists and people, looking at it. And we sort of looked at the whole future that we could think of.
17 scientists in different areas. You brought them together to look at these issues?
We contributed to the paper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the title of the paper?
It's Human Brain / Cloud Interface, and it's in Frontiers of Neuroscience Journal.
Fantastic. Wow.
This was more of a survey of what is possible and when, and what we came to the conclusion that we're really talking about something that's
Tell us what the paper is. Yeah. That's fantastic. Wow. Mm-hmm. So what is possible now? What are the first levels of connectivity that we can expect?
Well, just what we talked about already.
Okay.
But beyond that, what I like to think of this is the Matrix 4 is coming. Which, by the way, was just, as you know, was just announced.
Yes.
And that'll be produced in 2020.
The Wachowski siblings?
Yes. I'm really excited about that because I think what we may see is, well, this is purely speculation now, but I think Elon Musk is the architect. The architect, is, as you remember, is a character in The Matrix that I kind of like is organizing the whole scene and doing everything. So when Musk is developing a system that is absolutely mind-boggling, and we can discuss that a little bit more on the break, if you like.
After the break. Yeah, thanks for piquing my curiosity on where is this going? Okay, we'll be right back. We're talking to Amara Angelica about the brain-computer interface and the Neuralink with Musk's plans for being the architect out of the Matrix, from what I can understand. And we'll get a little bit more into the Matrix mythology a little bit so that it's a little clearer as to what we're going to have a little adventure with here. Talk to you after the break. Okay, welcome back to the Futures. Talking to Amara Angelica. Mrs. Future has a question for Amara.
Yes. Well, I know that, Amara, that you have worked quite extensively over the years with a futurist, Ray Kurzweil, and that you and he have certainly written books about the breakthroughs and the things that are coming. Maybe you want to contextualize this brain cloud research in that context.
Like the singularity.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the singularity?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't think anyone actually knows. But
isn't it when everything happens at once?
Yes.
At some point in the future?
It's the idea that at some point in the near future, artificial intelligence will become essentially infinite. It will become an entity of its own.
An independent will and an identity? A singular identity?
Yes. Well, yes. The singularity actually comes from the black hole concept, where it's a point where everything collapses into the black hole as a singularity. So it's in a cataclysmic, in a way, concept. And why it's cataclysmic is we won't be part of it.
Why not? If it's a singularity, we're all part of it, aren't we?
Unfortunately, no.
No, if something goes away in the singularity? It's not the same as the oneness, then. Okay.
A little bit different, because the concern is that superintelligence will be so far beyond us. We'll be like, as Elon Musk likes to say, house cats for AI.
House cats, if we're lucky.
If we're lucky, yes, and if we play our cards right.
So you think that's possible? In your in-depth understanding that this AIs could be that intelligent and separate from us?
This is all speculation.
So yeah, no, I'm curious what you think.
So I can't.
In other words, we don't really know. It's just, who really knows, basically,
well,
right?
I don't really know. Maybe someone else
does.
Okay,
well, if you don't, well, you don't know. I would say you're definitely one of the persons on the edge of how dangerous AIs could be.
Well, it's the most controversial subject right now in the world, in certain worlds. Mm. Yeah. And the real question is, what can we do about it? Now, Elon Musk has an incredible idea, which is very exciting. It's also very frightening. And that is, why not use that same method of detecting people's brainwaves and take it a step further and put electrodes all through the brain and then feed that signal out so that we can communicate with super intelligence, whatever that is.
Why would it be super intelligence at that point?
That's the AI entities, kind of a vague
way. I see. So it's a way of combining human intelligence with AI intelligence.
And being able to communicate with AI intelligence.
Yeah, so having high bandwidth connectivity with AI.
Exactly.
Okay. It makes sense, because you want to as high a bandwidth as possible. That will create more and more of a symbiotic relationship, possibly.
Right. So what Musk has come along with is a much better way of designing electrodes so that they're soft, they go into the neuron area very well, and they're put in by robots, so it's highly precise. So they feel they can put in like thousands of these things, so it'll be detecting maybe tens of thousands of neurons.
Yes, and not disrupting the vascularization of the brain. What I saw in the pictures or the video you sent me was that the robots are so precise that they avoid breaking blood vessels when they insert the electrodes.
Right, and the electrodes themselves are about the size of blood vessels, so that they're that small.
Which is a fraction of the size of a hair.
Yes, exactly, in the area of a few microns.
So that would connect us up better with the AIs.
Well,
and they wouldn't just take over at that point. We would be on equal turf with them.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Well, maybe we just need one really smart people to do this and get thousands of electrodes in their brain and see. Oh, how about the mini brains? They're growing mini brains now. They could grow a mini brain with these electrodes already in from the beginning.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah,
very
that way
dangerous.
You don't have to hurt anybody, you know? It's a, you're brought up this being that's already a hybrid.
Well, maybe one of our listeners will know what to do.
Okay.
I sure don't.
Okay, well, then we can only speculate at this point. Can you give us some movie references to some of this for those people who maybe have aware of sci-fi?
So basically, I see this as The Matrix.
Okay.
And if you remember, The Matrix was the idea of connecting human brains to a imaginary world. And the idea was to distract people who are, turns out that you're living in their pods and didn't know the outside world exists, while they're using their bodies as an energy source.
They're being drained by a larger intelligence.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, they're entertained in their own little worlds.
Right.
So Philip K. Dick's kind of thinking, yeah.
So this is what led me to the idea that Elon Musk is the architect.
Because he thinks that way?
I think what he's doing is what an architect should be doing, which is, that's a character from The Matrix that was kind of controlling the whole world and designing it.
But The Matrix had that evil thing of using the energy, not to the benefit of the entire system, but to whoever they use the energy for. It's not us.
Well, the big theme in The Matrix was to prevent the humans from waking up.
What if they could wake up into a movie that was really, really pretty good? I mean, what would that look like?
I don't know, but it raises interesting questions about who's controlling the whole scene.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that if it's all one, then there's really no other, if that's true. Really, if there's a unity in the universe, then it's all connected in some weird or bizarre way or another. There's really no aliens. There's really no other. It's all just a strange aspect of ourselves in that model of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a huge conversation going on through all of history about what is consciousness, and people such as Deepak Chopra right now are saying things like matter isn't conscious. In fact, consciousness contains matter. And what we're talking about
information
here
before matter
is a system where we use technology to plug new fibers into our neural net, our biological consciousness system. And then with those fibers, we do things that we have learned to do mechanically, such as communicate with the vast information network of the internet. And to me, it sounds like we've always imagined superpowers like omnipotence and telepathy and simulation of our reality being inside of something that's much larger that we're not perceiving. And so this is the model that we're talking about. We're talking about a physical mechanism to take a functioning human brain and then marry it to the thinking modalities of a mechanical information system such as the internet.
Merge the two, in a way, from what I can see with this. Now, I don't think everyone's going to go for that, but you can do it without invasive technology like electrodes. Maybe if you can just wear a baseball cap or something and be able to get into this kind of connectivity, then I think it could become more of a mainstream thing.
Well, DARPA is working on solutions, various solutions for that purpose.
Uh-huh. Oh, believe like a baseball cap that'll make you smarter?
Yeah.
You wear this cap. Yeah, you thought your phone was something.
Well, what they're developing is a way to not have to put electrodes into the brain.
Really? So non-invasive connectivity to your brain. Now, that's more like it. Something about embedding is still kind of, you know, it's going to be, it's going to be uncanny valley for humans.
Frankenstein.
Many, yeah.
Yeah, how many people would want to have the
Not many, many. That's why you'd have to grow the mini brains. You know. Yeah. But anyway, that's another trajectory.
Interesting idea, making a note on that.
Yeah. How far has the Neuralink folks gotten with this right now? What's the state of the art of the Neuralink project?
Well, they've developed very capable electrodes that can be implanted. They're planning to actually implant them by the end of next year into paraplegics to replace the ones, the systems they have now. So that should be fantastic.
This year. Wow. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, they're working with some people from UCSF and Stanford, and this is real high-end mainstream research going on in this area.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, really.
Thanks to you, we watched quite a bit of the Academy of Sciences live stream of the Neuralink presentation and each of the various research experts presenting their part of the project. And what they showed us is how many different kinds of technology they're trying to weave together for this. Mm-hmm. One of them is this laser-driven precision filament implanting system so that they can have a physical net of fibers that then they can attach to neural nodes and to computer nodes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the possibilities here. I'm thinking initially, you know, what do our scientists do? They mostly work with rats, right? Rats, mice, cats, dogs.
Monkeys,
all these critters will be the first one to have super intelligence when we connect
them in. That's interesting.
And they might take that AI super intelligence. The AI might do something with that power of connecting
with
canines.
Really interesting. One of our authors, Dr. Lebedev, actually developed a system where monkeys could think, watch a robot and control the robot with their thoughts.
Yeah, monkey controlling a robot.
With no connection, just like bam.
And did it adapt quickly to it? Did the monkey seem to like controlling the robot?
I don't know, but there's a comedy line in there somewhere.
working on our stand-up here. Okay. What did the monkey say to his robot AI?
Enough monkey business.
We'll be back after the break with Amara Angelica. We're talking about the brain-computer interface. Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking to Amara Angelica about the brain-computer interface. She's going to explain a little bit about nanobots to us and to some of the health benefits that are possible through a more advanced connection with our technology, our AIs, our machines that can help heal us in some amazing ways. So, Amara,
what's a nanobot and what does it have to do with all of this?
The word nano means billionth. So it's like a nanometer is one billionth of a meter, for example. Oh. And the bot is, of course, robot. The original concept that we start that, well, just to backtrack for a minute, the idea of doing the paper came to me when Ray was speaking at a TED conference in 2014. He made a statement that was quite unusual, which is what he likes to do, which is pretty revolutionary. Oh. And that is, and I'll just quote, that's Ray Kurzweil I'm referring to.
Yes, sort of a modern-day Edison.
Yes. Yeah. We will have nanobots. Now, nanobots, there are little robotic things that would go into the bloodstream sort of like the, remember Fantastic Voyage movie?
Yeah. That was great. Raquel Welch and shrinking down to the size of a blood
they
vessel.
They were trying to find a problem in the brain to save that person's life.
Yes. Yeah, that was
so
incredible.
So this is actually almost the same metaphor. Mm. So the nanobot would go through the bloodstream, get into the brain, and then magically, because it's not an easy challenge, penetrate the blood-brain barrier, which is possible at the nanoscale because anything, roughly 30 nanometers or less.
Well, you understand the body's defense system, so you would know how to circumnavigate it.
Right. So once you're in the brain, the nanobot would branch out little filaments or arms and connect themselves to neurons. So this is the same concept, except that you don't have to have implants anymore, just the nanobots as implants.
They would take the place of the... that's a good way to do it.
It's a sort of a invasive, self-assembling exonervous system, or a new nervous system.
Still probably have to inhale some smart dust or something to get them in your system. That's more friendly. I'm thinking another way would be to perhaps use frequencies that know how to stimulate the various glands of this body with, you know, sonic frequencies might be able to trigger off different chemicals being made by the body, which they'd be combined.
Interesting.
To cause changes in chemistry, like moods, depression could be treated. But we're starting to see that in some of the Santa Cruz alternative healing communities with sound healing and using sound for healing purposes, stuff like that.
Well, the problem with the nanobot concept, though, is that it requires molecular manufacturing, which means combining molecules somehow.
So it's not quite here yet in terms of a manufacturing technology.
It could be about 20 years or 30 years away.
Yeah. So it's not real yet. But the promise is huge.
But the idea is what's exciting.
Now, what kind of effects, what kind of diseases do you see being treated by this? You were mentioning Parkinson's earlier.
Well, the conventional way of handling Parkinson's and other mental disorders is to drill down into the brain, which is very invasive because you kill neurons in the process, and stick an electrode in that general area, hook it up to a little battery with just the switch. It turns, electricity whenever it's needed. Well, that works pretty well, but eventually those electrodes get covered. They build up a resistance, and they have to be replaced. And also, it's only one little electrode. You can't put a lot of them in there.
Not very practical or feasible.
Right. So what if you put it in the wrong place? And what if someone really had something somewhere else, or if they developed another condition? You're really stuck. And that's one of the big reasons why the brain-machine interface is so important.
Because you can
to do that.
Yeah, they did say in the Elon Musk live stream that they were limited by having to choose materials that would be compatible with the brain functions.
Yes,
they
exactly.
couldn't choose things that would get covered with plaque or treated as a disease or
et cetera. Yes, that's exactly it. They've got a material that's closer to a spaghetti strand than an electrode. It goes in at a much finer way, so that solves the problem.
So we have a question of someone who wants to know about what did you do with Ray Kurzweil?
I worked with him on three of his books, including The Singularity Is Near, How to Create a Mind, and Fantastic Voyage, How to Live Forever. That wasn't the exact title. It was Fantastic Voyage. That was about health. And I also edited his website. I wrote more than 18,000 articles on future trends.
Yeah, I remember that, the Kurzweil. Yeah. We used to use that as one of our sources. it was really incredible what you were collecting in the changing world of the
I think it's the
technology.
Largest collection about the future of important breakthroughs in the mind and other areas.
Now, I've known you back in the days before this, like the Mondo 2000 days and such. And looking back in that, in the whole cyberpunk era that we both got to live through, what aspect of cyberpunk turned out to be real in your mind or to be most interesting now? Virtual reality?
Yeah, that's right.
The VR element, where it's actually becoming real now, 25 years later. And have you gotten into that? You got into the VR stuff yet?
I've played with it, but I'm not an expert like you are.
Okay, so it's still a new, fun, new arena to explore. Great. Yeah. Okay, I look forward to sharing that with you.
So it seems like the arena that we're in here is how do we develop an understanding of the way that the brain is wired to respond to stimulus, and then how does that communicate back out? And it's sort of in the realm of, it's either electrical, or it's electromagnetic, or it's sonic, or it's photonic. And there's research going on in all of these areas to map the brain and how the brain responds to stimulus and how the brain communicates so that we can interpret it as thoughts or sensory data. That's the realm of technology we're talking about here.
Yes, and that's part of creating maps of the brain, including the connectome, which is all the connections between the neurons.
Mm-hmm.
How long before we have experiments with our phones and directly connecting with the mind?
I'm looking forward to Apple putting out the first combination VR and augmented reality system.
Mm-hmm. So the Apple, because they're going toward the glasses format, right?
And the glasses, including the glasses. That's going to be amazing. I'm really holding off for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that looks, I think so too. And then there's also scanning directly into the eye with photons. That seems like a high bandwidth connection with the brain. Through the eyes, it's possible by lasers that send information into the optic nerve.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. It's interpreting that information is the tricky part inside the brain, which it's a fascinating area, and it's evolving very rapidly. If you guys have any questions, give us a call at 831-479-1080. We've got Amara Angelica in the studio here, who is an amazing futurist, has collected and studied the future and changes for her whole life.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe ask you, Amara, to differentiate between some of these research projects that you've presented here. We have already discussed a little bit the DARPA idea, and I see you also have one here from Carnegie Mellon. That one seems to be based on ultrasound. How is that one set up?
What DARPA has done is issue contracts for six different approaches. The one that fascinates me especially is the PARC project, and that's an acoustic/magnetic device for writing to the brain. It uses ultrasound, so you don't need the wires at all. The ultrasound combines with magnetic fields to generate electric currents in the brain. Essentially, that's the way of creating your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty cool, and I think this is what we'll be seeing, this kind of thing for that.
So the way ultrasound now is used to generate pictures for pregnant women, we'll be using that to create something on a inner vision screen in the brain.
Yes, and in a kind of a similar way,
Mm-hmm.
There's also a project at Battelle that uses what they call electromagnetic nanotransducers. These are little things that will be delivered to neurons through the bloodstream. So it's slightly invasive, but not as bad as having wires. And the neurons can communicate through a wearable electronic device, let's say something you put on your neck or something, using magnetic signals.
Mm.
So that's a kind of a way to get around the wires.
Mm. Right. All right. Well, how about we go to a break, and then we'll have the last section of the show for callers and questions.
Okay, welcome back to the futures. And you know, as we like to look for the good stuff in the future. And one of the things that you mentioned in your notes and literature you sent me, Amara, had to do with how this could lead to a super brain. And we have callers on the phone. Please hold on. I will be with you in a moment. But I just want to hear what Amara means by us having a future super brain for all of us to be part of or play with.
Well, this is the part that I really love. And that is the idea of a global super brain.
A global super brain.
And the idea is that, this is like a John Lennon song or something, but imagine the entire Earth being able to somehow communicate with each other.
Mm.
How would you do that? I have no idea. But the tools will be there, I have no doubt.
Mm. We're all biological organisms, so maybe it would happen in some biological way, like a way in which the species connects. I was thinking maybe the internet is an exonervous system of some sort, in my understanding.
Yeah.
and then the brain is part of the nervous system mm-hmm. that creates a centralized intelligence with a decentralized intelligence in each of us. So we have the best of both worlds. Yeah, so that the superbrain. Who puts that idea out? Does Ray Kurzweil talk about that or shamans? Is this science meet shamanism?
I haven't heard about that. We talked about mm-hmm. it in our paper. Mm-hmm. We also talked about the idea of being able to have full understanding of someone else by being them.
Oh, so empathy. Empathy and role exchange.
So suppose you and I, son, would like to exchange identities. We
exchange
could do that.
Mm.
So, yeah, well, that's what Dungeons & Dragons is all about, right? Is
so,
like,
so could you
get to play the role.
Could you handle me? I don't think so.
Just for a second.
Could I play you? I could do a really good imitation of you.
Oh,
for
really?
Sure.
Oh, I'd like to hear it.
No, but there'd be a lot of holes in my knowledge, of course, because, you know, you can go places I'm afraid to go.
If I took on someone else's karma, I might blow up. I don't know. Is it changing bodies or changing minds?
It's actually exchanging minds.
So your mind is literally in a different
body? So I would be body? Alan, and I would be everything that you do. Everything you do, like bump into the microphone.
Really? You'd feel my physiology?
Totally, yeah.
Wow.
In the spiritual world, in Anne Rice novels, they call it trespasso, which is where a different consciousness is inhabiting a body while the normal owner of the body steps out and turns over the controls.
Well, there are stories of ayahuasca like right. that, where you become a jaguar or your totem bird. You become these other creatures. So maybe the mind is doing it already in another
Maybe
ways.
We could do a show on where we're both on ayahuasca and explore that idea.
And connect up the brain to the latest Neuralink BCI and see what happens. Those are mind hackers. And there are. The Bay Area, by the way, has really got a very thriving community of brain hackers doing experiments of all kinds along these lines. It's quite a fascinating time we're in here.
Let's talk to Steve from Pacific Grove. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome, Steve.
Hi. You guys want to keep it? I was going to talk about Frank Herbert and Dune and the Mentats when they outlawed all what this gal's talking about. What I was thinking, though, is that the whales already do this, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think there's a biological grid already in place that nature has put in, and that's what the shamans are all tuning into and the ayahuasca and such. I think we're sort of creating that in a different way with our technology, but ultimately it's the same thing. It connects everything to everything else.
Can I tell one of my favorite cartoons I've ever seen in my life?
Sure.
Was by Bizarro.
Yeah.
When he had two blue whales walking along the beach, right? And all these people are running, screaming. And he goes, isn't it interesting the way they squeal?
Yeah.
That's great.
Interspecies communicators are needed here.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. And we do have another caller.
Yes.
You guys are ready for another one? Okay,
yeah.
This is Steve in Aptos. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Steve.
Greetings. Hi, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you could somehow gradually mate up the fleshy brain with the AI intelligence, let's say your laptop, your computer, you could gradually mate that up and start becoming more familiar and making it feel more ordinary. I wonder if you could gradually translate your separate self-sense into the other side, into the computer side, and then that separate self-sense or ego could reside in your Google Chromebook. So then you could live forever.
There you go. That is the million-dollar question you're hitting on there, Steve. I think a lot of people believe that this is the idea of uploading your brain to the machine.
What do you think, Amara? Brain uploads? Is that a sci-fi idea? Or is it has some fundamental reality to it?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're talking about here.
Brain uploads?
Yeah.
Well, we got something to look forward to. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for the question. It's interesting.
Yeah. Any further elaboration on his question there?
Well, I was reminded of some movies that talk about some of these
things. Oh, good. Yeah, let's go into some little movie.
I think the one that I found so scary that I had to stop watching it was Inception.
Right.
I thought I was in the movie. Seriously, I could not. I'm going to lose all identity, which probably would have been a good idea, actually.
If you want to lose your identity, watch this movie.
That's the way to do it.
Inception, huh?
So if people who haven't seen it, it's really totally mind-boggling.
And it's a movie that's about a dream within a dream within a dream, and where the main characters lose track of which dream they're in and where reality actually is and stop being able to distinguish between their physical body's reality and the dream reality they're experiencing.
Yeah, where are you and who are you?
Which is what we've been talking about.
You can shift identity. Yeah, in the future you'll have multiple points of view.
So it's all going to be an inception, but the big question that will come up in the future is, how the hell do I get out of this super intelligence? I can't take it anymore.
I just want to lie by the
book. That's the Matrix.
Then, of course, there's Transcendence. Blade Runner, of course, is the ultimate, where they implanted memories in robots.
That's right, where they only lived for 11 years, something like that.
Yeah. And Total Recall, there's another one. Arnold gets his...
Yes, Philip K. Dick is so key to a lot of this kind of thinking.
Yeah? Absolutely, the center of it all.
Mm. What do you think happened? What did he see, do you think, in his original vision, Philip K. Dick, to spawn all these stories that are such hot in Hollywood now?
There's so many stories that...
Alternate realities?
His basic premise was that the world is not real and that it's a simulation.
Mm, right from the start.
And the more I think about this, the more I agree with it.
Yeah.
And how do you disprove? The idea is that, according to Musk, there's probably one chance in 10 billion that we're not in a simulation. Which is kind of scary.
Well, if it's being simulated, then what's real? Who's simulating us? If it's all one, it's got to be us on some level. So it's like an infinite recursion of some sort.
Yes. So we are creating something that will be coming back to haunt us, I guess.
Coming back to create something else that we like to
guess about. Altered Carbon, that was my favorite.
Altered Carbon on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's where the bodies were called sleeves, and they were a relatively minor part of who you were.
Yeah.
What bothers me there is that it doesn't pay enough attention to the body as sacred, that what we have is really amazing, and that it is a core to our experience, is that if our biology is happy, we're happy. And to enhance that biological happiness somehow with the AI so that we're even more happy and more amazing and more connected with the bigger universe. And to realize that we've barely begun. We're on one planet, on one star system. And we know how far it goes out infinitely in the larger size, and probably the same getting smaller and inside, too. So it's a huge universe, and we've barely begun exploring it. And get used to that, you know.
And imagine the superintelligence in a...
And we need that just to get off this planet.
Imagine a superintelligence in an advanced civilization,
which
would be infinitely greater than what we could achieve, and how to communicate with them.
Yeah, the beeps, that's mine. Huh?
That's you.
Okay, Starhopper. They point out that the whole idea that Musk is also putting out is that we're going literally to other planets and a multi-planet species.
Yes.
You like that? Do you think that's the natural direction?
Absolutely, yeah. Either directly or via our surrogate intelligence. I wrote a paper that I thought was the most interesting thing I ever worked on. It's called Communicating with the Universe.
Okay, well, the show is over, sadly, but is there a link to this? Where can
it's
you send us?
It's on KurzweilAI.net.
KurzweilAI.net.
A lot of my writings are on there.
Okay, and look for Amara Angelica. And the name of this piece?
Communicating with the Universe. It's very trippy.
Communicating with the Universe. Amara Angelica. Ray Kurzweil. Okay. Kurzweil AI. Thank you. Thank you so much, Amara. That was great. A lot to touch on in a scant few minutes, and I look forward to having you back in the near future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.